We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now.
I was wrong last week, but I'm going to be right this week. This is episode 7. I'm almost positive I said episode 7 last week, even though it was episode 6, of Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. And this week's episode is going to be the first of what will be many over time of the location-based episodes. And that is because Patrick, this past weekend, was not in the Portland area.
I was not. In fact, I just got back yesterday. And I woke up this morning and I feel terrible. And I'm not doing anything today. I'm just talking to you.
You feel terrible because you're hungover?
Because
your ribs still hurt a lot?
I don't know. All of the above.
Traveling makes you allergy.
Yeah, traveling. I ate a lot of really awesome food, but I did just come back from the South. And my body is heavy.
So the South is Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, I was in Asheville, North Carolina, and first and foremost, Asheville is not the easiest place to get to. You can't really fly into Asheville unless you have a bajillion dollars. So me and a couple of my friends, so a bunch of us went out there for one of my best friend's weddings, and some people flew into Charlotte, which turned out to be an absolute nightmare as their flights were canceled and things like that. Me and a buddy, we flew into Atlanta, rented a car, got into Atlanta about 11:30 p.m. Atlanta time on Thursday and drove 3.5 hours to Asheville, got in about 3:30 in the morning.
That seems okay.
Three and a half hours
isn't the worst thing in the world.
And then yesterday flying back, the night before we drove back down to Atlanta, so we stayed the night in Atlanta and then flew from Atlanta to Phoenix to Portland, and that was an all-day endeavor.
So we're going to do this every now and then, just like with our beer style podcasts, where we want to explore other cities outside of Portland, which is our home base, for their breweries and the beer types and the beer scene and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to start here because Patrick was there, and it's easy to do it this week. Don't forget to find us on 1080thefan.com, iTunes, and Google Play, and to rate, review, and subscribe wherever it is that you find us. We appreciate it. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at MikeLynch27. Patrick's at PDD085. That's the same Twitter and Instagram. He uses Instagram more. I don't have an Instagram, so that's where you can find us. Talk to us about beer, about the episodes, and all that kind of stuff. We love it, and we appreciate all of your ratings and comments and all that kind of stuff. But
pictures while I was in Asheville, so the Instagram is a pretty good spot right now.
You can go see the beauty that is one of the biggest breweries probably in the country.
It is.
And you can see that on Patrick's Instagram, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here on the podcast. So go check that out at PDiddy085 on Instagram. But I want to start, before we dive into the beer scene at Asheville, how was the city? What was the vibe of the city?
Asheville is pretty amazing. It's absolutely gorgeous. I heard a lot of people say, you know, it's like the Bend of the East Coast. And I'll tell you what, if we cut beer outside of it, and if we cut what you can do outside of the city of Bend, Asheville is 10 times a cooler city than Bend.
Whoa.
No offense. I mean, there's Mount Bachelor, there's Sun River, there's a bunch of stuff you can do all around the outskirts of Bend. But as far as the city goes, Asheville is absolutely gorgeous. Trees everywhere. It's kind of built. It reminds me of Pullman when I went to Wazoo because it's kind of hilly. But it's very much a kind of hip, artsy, culture-filled town. With a ton of people, it does seem like more tourists than locals. So there's your Bend connection right there. But Asheville is absolutely gorgeous. I highly recommend going there. The people were nice. You very much get some North Carolina Southern hospitality, if you know what I mean. There were some really nice people there. 10 out of 10. Could not have been happier. And everything's kind of centrally located. I was laughing that every time we went somewhere, I put into Google Maps like how to get there, and everything was 7 minutes away.
Well, that's nice.
Everything was.
You just could walk everywhere then.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's perfect. And I just zoomed in briefly. I went onto Google Maps myself. So it's kind of in the western area of North Carolina.
Yeah, it's like 40 minutes from the Tennessee border.
Yeah, and there's a gigantic amount of the state way to the right. So yeah, totally western. It looks like it's kind of in some mountainy hills over here, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
When I zoomed in on the map, literally like 6 breweries popped up instantly. And they're all within 7 blocks of each other.
Yep.
So that's cool. That's pretty cool. I'd like to go now. I'd like to experience Asheville after that review. 10 out of 10. Man.
Place was just gorgeous.
Don't give anything,
I mean,
10 out of 10.
Surrounded by trees, it was very outdoorsy. Now, I guess I will give it a 10 out of 10 because I loved it. But if I had one negative thing, it's not an Asheville thing; it's a South thing. It is muggy, hot, and disgusting.
Like, always
swampy, and when you walk everywhere, your body gets swampy. If you catch my drift.
Well, of course I do.
Yeah,
you step outside of a door, AC on the inside, outside is regular heat. And it feels like you're walking into a wet blanket.
Yep.
And it feels like you are already dripping before you even move one step forward.
Everybody has air conditioning. Everybody.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
Or you would die.
It wasn't even that hot, per se. Because, like, today...
It was the humidity.
Yeah, because today it's hot in Portland, but the humidity makes it really, really awful.
So, what breweries did you go to, then? You said you went to... How many?
I went to 7 breweries.
7.
And I drove by an 8th. I know that sounds weird, but I'll get to that. But yeah, I went to 7 breweries, almost all of them located downtown. Let's see, I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them were within probably 8 to 10 block radius. So that's, I mean, there's a lot of breweries in Bend, but you're not walking to 8 breweries in 10 blocks.
Yeah, I walked to 8 breweries when I went to Bend last time, and it was the entire day.
Yeah.
Because you have to cross the entire city.
You know, ours is like, oh, let's go to this place. Oh, that's 2 blocks down the road. Oh, okay.
Cool.
And then this other spot is 3 blocks further from that. Yeah, so you could just do one kind of giant loop. We started out at Wicked Weed. Wicked Weed is a highly renowned brewery in the South that a lot of people massively love and respect, I guess, up until they were bought out by Anheuser-Busch. But that is where we went first. It was kind of, we got in Thursday night. We woke up Friday. We met the bride and groom and the bride's parents, for a little lunch, and they wanted to go to Wicked Weed. And Wicked Weed, the beer was fantastic. The food was really good. The space was really fun. They had kind of an outdoor patio, an upstairs area, and then a downstairs, more kind of like tap room, self-seating area, indoor and out. There was table service, but it definitely felt a lot more casual. Easily the most popular place in the city limits. You can understand why they're so popular, because I remember driving by there a different day. I think they open at 11, and I think I was driving by at 10:30, and there was about 15 people waiting outside.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, it was Labor Day. The town was absolutely jacked full of people. So, I mean, I'm sure there was a little, not a little, especially when we get to the big place I went. There's definitely an uptick of people there. But that's kind of how, you know, that, not to take too much away from Wicked Weed, because the beer was really good and the food was great and service was awesome. But that's kind of what big beer can do for you, is that those are the guys that end up having giant lines outside.
Yeah. You kind of update the space, mm-hmm. You get more spots, you get more marketing and advertising and all that kind of stuff.
Pretty much.
All of a sudden, a lot more people know about you than they did in the past.
Yeah. And they remind me of, you know, your classic kind of Northwest brewery. They touch on all styles. They have barrel aged stuff. They have dark stuff. They have light stuff. They have hoppy stuff. I was impressed with their hoppy stuff.
What's their signature? Do they have a signature?
I'm not sure what their signature is. I mean, I know that a lot of people I saw around town at some other bars that there was one of their IPAs. I think it starts with a P. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I would say that was probably kind of their big go-to. They did some tours and some tastings. I was kind of with, you know, I was with bridal party stuff, so I didn't get the chance to necessarily tour. I'm not the biggest tour guy, to be fair, only because...
You know what all breweries look,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I mean, once you've kind of... There's a certain scale of brewery. Once you've kind of seen one, you've seen them all. It's not until you get to dudes making, you know, a million barrels of beer a year that things start to change. But it was nice. I had nothing but great things to say about that place. I I really enjoyed it. I think I had three different beers.
I see a lot of dark beers on their beer menu, which is right up my alley.
Yeah, I enjoyed the IPAs I had. There was a Helles Lager I had. A lot of people...
French Toast Imperial Stout.
Yeah. I took a pass on that.
No.
There was the kind of a common theme. A lot of people in that town make Helles Lagers, which makes me very happy. So I was able to drink a bunch of those.
So... what was next? You said you went to Wicked Weed, and I'm going to try to find this P beer as I scroll through their beer list, which is very large. They have something called Milk and Cookies, also right up my alley.
Yeah.
Right after Wicked Weed, where did you go? Was it the Pernicious? That's it.
The Pernicious, yes. The Pernicious was kind of their go-to guy.
Cool.
It was solid. It worked. I drank a lot of it.
Where'd you go after Wicked Weed?
So after we did Wicked Weed, I think Bride and Groom split off, and then we had kind of started people starting to trickle into town, and it was kind of like, hey, we're going to this place, let's meet up there, let's go to this other place, and then we went down the street to a place called Burial. I wanted to check out Burial Brewing because they did a collaboration with us at Breakside about, I don't know, 6 months ago, something like that, and I kind of wanted to check them out. And you know, anytime you make a friend with somebody, you kind of want to go to their place and see their brewery.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were all over the place. They did a ton of like saisons and some mixed culture stuff. Now, mixed culture is going to have the yeast strains that you would have in sour beers, in like barrel aged sour beers, but they're not necessarily sour, if that makes sense.
No.
It's more funky than sour. So it's not tart. It's just kind of like, whoa, this is weird.
Okay.
They did a lot of stuff like that. So we were there as well. Interesting place. You would have really dug the place. It was kind of like a inside was all like wooden built sort of thing. It was kind of dark and gloomy in there, but like in a bright way.
So
if that makes
I would
sense.
Like it because it was
no,
dark and
no,
gloomy.
Follow me. And then the back, they had a patio that was outdoor. The patio was absolutely, absolutely really cool. But I think you would have liked it because it was definitely an East Coast interpretation of like a heavy metal brewery.
Ooh.
There were a bunch of like skeletons and weird art all over the wall.
The
and
names of their beers that I'm looking at now all look like album or metal song names.
Yep.
Portal to Transgression.
Yep.
A Violent Voyage to Impermanence.
I had that beer.
Martyrs of the Resistance.
I had that beer as well.
I know a band named Betraying the Martyrs, so that's pretty close. Death in the Distance. That's not cool looking. The Deafening Song of Silence.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's badass.
I think I had that beer too.
Oh, there's more pages. Hold on.
So that was that one. That was kind of where we started. And then that's where we really gained speed. We had
the Golden Carriage to Oblivion.
We had three or four people join us there. And then on our way out, we had two more show up. And now we're a crew. Now there's, you know, seven or eight of us cruising through town, hitting breweries. After we did Burial, we ran over to Green Man, which was, again, just up the street, like two blocks away from there. Green Man, one of my favorite breweries of the places that we went. This was the kind of place that reminded me of Bend. They had two spots. So one's their mass production facility, but then they had this small little tap room where they had their kind of pilot system. And that was like almost like a mini version of Crux. In the sense where it literally just looked like a shack that you drank in, and then you went outside and there was this patio that was kind of covered, and it was just wood benches with a fire pit. Very like run down.
Yeah.
And the crowd was very blue collar.
Interesting.
Like you could tell that the people that were drinking at Green Man, I mean, the patio, you walked in and it was an ashtray. I mean, like the entire patio, everyone smoking. Oh, that's another thing you got to remember in North Carolina. North Carolina is built on Tobacco Road. Everyone smokes.
Wow.
Everyone smokes
cigarettes.
That's
interesting, and that's totally a side note from any beer discussion, but I've noticed lately that less and less and less people are smoking. Here, at least.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that is more the Northwest
right.
than Portland
here,
itself.
Here in the Northwest, you just notice so many fewer people smoking. Mm-hmm. To go to a place where it's that common would be kind of a culture shock to me.
It was crazy. I mean, there's like the pole ashtrays, you know, that you see on the sides of the roads. There's one, I feel like, every 25 feet. So you step outside and there's all these guys who literally just like look like they got off work, you know, at one of the spots all around there and just outside laughing, having a great grand old time. The atmosphere in there was very lively. But like I said, very blue collar, to where Wicked Weed was more like, hey, we've got some money and this is kind of the brewery we want. Green Man was very much, yo, hey, what you having, man? Kind of place.
So that, if I could compare to Portland breweries that I know, it sounds like Wicked Weed is almost like 10 Barrel.
Okay.
Once they got bought, sure. They kind of upgraded the space and they put the rooftop deck and it was clean and there's wood and it's all, you know, nice.
I would agree.
And Green Man, up until recently, is like Boneyard, because Boneyard was in a garage
yeah.
until they opened up their new place.
Yeah.
And it was tiny and it was just like blue collar, and anybody who just walked in there who lived in the neighborhood would grab a beer. And that's in Bend, of course, Boneyard is it.
But, well, you couldn't get a pint at the Boneyard.
No.
This place, you can get a pint.
It's just, I'm talking about the actual vibe you're describing.
Very much so. It seemed kind of roadhousey almost.
Yeah.
Like there should have been peanut shells on the ground.
That would have been a good fit.
I thought it was really cool. The bartenders were super awesome. They were great. I had an excellent time at Green Man.
They have really creative logos. I'm kidding. All of them have the same face on them.
It's a green man.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think. After that, oh boy. After that,
You were really drunk and you forget where you were walking.
Yeah, I know. I think after that we had to start getting ready for like some wedding stuff. So I think some of us had to taper off and we had to get ready for rehearsal dinner and all that jazz. After the rehearsal dinner, though, we walked down the street back towards where Green Man and Burial and Wicked Weed are. We went to a place called Bramari.
Yep. See it right here, right in between all three.
That place was kind of like, how to explain it? They had an outdoor spot. They had an indoor spot. I don't know. Like somewhere between like a Green Man and a Wicked Weed. So there was like nice stuff inside, but it also had kind of a leisure outdoor patio. It was a nice spot. I wish I could remember how much of the beers I liked. For it was later in the night, and I think I had just drank a bottle and a half of wine during the rehearsal dinner. But I remember not hating any of the beers I had.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a rousing endorsement.
I know. I feel bad. If anybody is listening from Bramari, I apologize. I ended up going back later that night for last call, so that must mean something, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You can't remember how they tasted, so you doubly can't remember how they tasted for last call.
For sure, but I went back, so it's got to be good. There's like three other breweries around, so I went back there.
Okay.
After that, I went to the Funkatorium, which is down the street as well. That is also owned by Wicked Weed. It's just a sour place. That is literally just, you walk up to a bar, it's just a giant outdoor patio space. There's like a live music stage, there's fire pits, there's barrels everywhere. But they're all sour kind of based and funky stuff. So we went in and they had a few stuff on tap, but everything that looked great was in bottles. So we bought a bunch of bottles and pop bottles. And then after that, we went to some bars and yeah, I know.
There you go.
That was my night.
That's not everything though, right? That's just the one day you're talking about.
That was just that day. Yeah. Now that was most of them, but that was just that day.
It's funny because just this past weekend, my parents were in town. My wife and I just bought a house and they were, you know, helping us do some stuff and, and they stayed with us because it was the first time they could actually stay with us when they visit instead of having to get a hotel. And we went to Hood River, and because that was one of the few places in Oregon they have not been in the 8 years that I've been here that they've come to visit. And I was like, hey, let's just go do the couple of the breweries over there. You know, let's just kind of go wander around, have some beer, have some food. And my dad, and well, my mom's not much of a beer person, but my dad, he couldn't keep up. He could barely drink a pint at each place. He was just getting like bubbled up and full. And I'm sitting there going, I'm great. What are you talking about? And then you're over here going to like, and I only went to three places and you went to 8-9 places in one day. How on earth did you survive the bubble gut that was sure to happen later that night?
You know, it reminds me of when we opened Slab Town and I was working there. It was about, I don't know, it was about 8 months into us being there. And, there's a person who works there, and she says to me, she goes, you know what, Patrick? I think you're the only person here since we've opened that hasn't gained weight from drinking more beer. And I was like, oh, thanks. Then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, wait, this body has been in alcoholic beer drinking shape for decades. All right, this is not a new thing for me. So I think that's how I made it. I'm just surprised. I'm surprised the post bottle of wine and a half at rehearsal dinner that that I was still standing.
That you were able to keep going to multiple locations?
Yeah, I mean, I was loaded, but now it was like party time. Now we were like a crew of like 15, 20 people deep, because now everybody had finally, everybody that was coming to the wedding from the West Coast was now in town, and so now it was kind of mob mentality.
All right. So that was Wicked Weed, Burial Beer, Green Man Brewery, Bramari Brewing, and the Funkatorium.
And then repeat offending at Bramari.
Okay, and then repeat offending at Bramari. So that was the five of the seven plus drive-by eight that you went to.
Yeah, that because that was the one day I had time to do breweries. And I was very lucky that I was with a bunch of people that also wanted to do breweries. I mean, we're all from back here, so it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah,
and
of course,
it's like, hey, let's go check all this out. So then from then on out, I kind of just had to sneak some stuff in where I could. I think it was, let's see, it was... Oh, I'm probably mixing days. I am mixing days. I don't know what happened in the middle. Oh, Friday we
had a wedding probably.
Friday we had dinner with our friends. Saturday was the rehearsal dinner.
Okay.
So on Saturday before the rehearsal, which we went to Bramari and Funkatorium on Saturday. So before that, I had some free time and I went to High Wire Brewing. They have two locations. I ended up going to their mass production facility. They have like one downtown and then they had a... The mass production facility is like High Wire Big Top, I think is what they called it.
Okay.
And I instantly fell in love because it looks like Breakside, Milwaukee.
Aww.
Yep. I walked in there and I was like, huh, giant brewery, giant warehouse, a tap list, a couple nice people working behind the bar. I can hang out here.
You like instantly step behind the bar. Hey, guys.
Yeah, right. Just here to work.
Yep. Tell me what to do.
Yeah. That place was easily my favorite. Not just because, you know, I fell in love with the location, but it was.
That's kind of a cool looking bar. I found a picture of it right there.
Spoiler alert. It was my favorite brewery.
Okay.
Of the trip. Not just because of the location. I enjoyed the location. I also watched Oregon State go up on Ohio State 7-0. And I was like, look out. Not really, because then it was like 42-28 real quickly.
Hey, they scored 31 points.
But I tried every beer they had on tap, and what was weird was their most popular beer. They had a Mosaic IPA. Their most popular beer was the worst beer I had.
Wow.
Every other beer I had was fantastic. My favorite beer they had, we might talk about later. But then I had a bunch of other stuff. Their Pilsner was great. They had a blueberry sour that was barrel-aged. That was fantastic. They had two hazy IPAs that I really enjoyed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an upset.
And because they were just, you know, they again, were kind of like breweries you see up here in the sense of that every, you know, just touching on all different types of styles. And I really, really enjoyed them. Plus, they had a food cart outside that... I got some smoked pulled pork, which I was really excited about. And then I was talking to the woman. I was like, where else in this town can you get good barbecue? And she was real quick, very polite, but was real quick to remind me that a smokehouse is very different than barbecue. She was like, well, if I eat barbecue, I go to these places, but we don't do barbecue here.
Oh.
And I'm just like, seems the same to me, but okay. There was no barbecue sauce to put on it.
Right.
There was like some hot sauce.
I did.
But it was pulled pork, mac and cheese, baked beans, and toast. And I was like, sounds like barbecue to me, but she was very quick to let me know that it was not barbecue. It was a smokehouse.
I watched the Food Network, and on Chopped going on right now, or maybe it's over. I haven't seen them all. They were doing a special barbecue, like Pitmaster edition, and they had pitmasters from each of like these four main cities, Kansas City, Dallas, etc. And I forget which one it was. They said they don't use barbecue sauce on the meat. They want the meat to speak for itself.
Hmm.
Maybe it was North Carolina.
It is Carolina barbecue.
I have no idea. I don't know a lot about barbecue, so
apparently
you don't either.
I just eat a lot of good food. I just try to eat good food wherever I can.
So High Wire was your favorite.
High Wire was my favorite.
And that leaves one plus a drive-by left.
Yeah, the drive-by was funny. It was funny. The drive-by was before High Wire. I mentioned to a friend who was meeting me to this couple, and I was like, hey, I want to go check out this High Wire place. And they were like, okay, well, we got to check into our hotel, freshen up a little bit. We'll be a little behind you, and I'll let you know. So I was like, oh, I'll use this opportunity to grab a quick beer somewhere else, a place that I know, and then I'll meet them at High Wire. As I was rolling in to the newish location of New Belgium in Asheville, North Carolina, I got the text message. We're on our way to High Wire.
Oh.
So I just drove by the Sierra Nevada. I will be in Colorado in 3 weeks. So if I want to go to Sierra Nevada, I'll do that when I'm out there. But it was massive. Just a giant place.
Wait, what? I thought you were inside Sierra Nevada.
Sorry, New Belgium.
Oh, okay.
They're big boys. Yes. I'm confusing. So I just drove by. But what it looked like, it was right down on the river, kind of an industrial old part of town. I didn't get to go inside or anything, but I mean, tanks galore, blah, blah, blah. The place looked massive.
There it is. New Belgium Brewing right across the bridge.
Yep.
All right. So that's one stop left for you to go, or one spot extra for you to go in Colorado. But that leaves the biggest of the big boys.
Yeah.
Sierra Nevada Brewing, which I just spoiled because I was confused.
Well, and I spoiled it because I'm an idiot.
Is by far and away the biggest place I've ever seen from your pictures.
Yes.
The outside reminds me of Stone Brewing in San Diego. The inside reminds me of the Tillamook Cheese Factory when you look through the windows when you're at the observatory when there's the ice cream up there. It's just gigantic. And then there were people everywhere. There's people sitting everywhere. I guess Labor Day weekend, but
yeah, we went on Monday, on our way out of town, on our way heading to Atlanta, because it's about a half hour south of Asheville. So to go, you know, you got to kind of make a trip of it, and you got to kind of be smart about how you're doing it. But we went down there. It's about a half hour south, half hour, 45 minutes, something like that.
There's even breweries down there too. Other ones near it.
And when you roll into this place, I mean, you get off the highway and you take a turn and you start going down this road called Sierra Nevada Lane. And then Sierra Nevada Way, excuse me. And then you start to follow this path to get to the parking lot. And it goes through this wooded area with this like wood structure bridges you cross. It's super intimate. You can't see anything but the road and these trees. And then all of a sudden you pop out to this massive, massive like Disneyland. It was insane.
I'm looking at it right now. It looks like almost like a car dealership or like a place where they build cars.
It was Monday at like 4:30 and they had still three parking lot attendants directing traffic in the parking lot. Some of my friends went on Sunday before the wedding because they had time to kill. So they went down there and said that they had to park in an overflow lot and take a shuttle to get to the brewery.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's insane. So this place is gigantic. Obviously, it's a big name brewery, Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
And they're just pulling in hundreds of people an hour, it sounds like.
Sunday was their biggest day in the history. We heard rumors. So if someone from Sierra Nevada is listening, I apologize if this is wrong. But we had heard through hearsay that on Sunday, they had 9 back-to-back hours of $10,000 in sales.
Wow.
That is $90,000 in 9 hours of sales.
Wow.
That is insane.
That's insane.
All right? I work for one of the bigger breweries in this town, and it's not that our location is the biggest location, but like the building would be on fire before you did $10,000 hours.
I'm just looking. This place is huge, man. I went in on the Google Maps Street View. I want to go there now.
So what's really cool about this place?
You want to take me there?
Sure, I would love to go back. Is you walk in, and you know you walk in. The first thing you notice when you walk in is they've got some copper tanks that look more like show on the right. They might actually be used, but they look kind of more like for show. And you walk in, it's kind of just like a restaurant. It's like a huge restaurant. There's probably 200 tables inside this restaurant.
Okay.
And so we waited in line. We grabbed some beer. They had a bunch of beers on tap. And like I was hoping, they had a bunch of the mainstays that I don't know. We didn't find out exactly how much of the like core brands that they make in Chico that they also make out there. But they basically had it set up two-sided. One, there was a full side of kind of their normal stuff. The pale ale, torpedo, stuff like that. And then on the left side was clearly things that they had made in-house. What was really cool is behind the bar, they had three serving tanks that were each full of beer that were pulling beer off of the tanks, and you could see the tanks. And they had the little sign on each tank of what beer it was.
Yeah.
And
you could see like them pulling the beer too?
Well, no, I mean, it's just hooked. I mean, it's still a steel vessel.
Okay, okay.
It's still a metal vessel.
I wasn't sure if they had like little like windows for you to watch the beer.
That would be rad.
Dragged down.
But no, but it, uh, It's because you don't want the light getting in.
Gotcha.
But I mean, they were right there.
See, I can learn something still.
And so that was cool. And you can, I think we should have looked into this, but when we got there at 5:30 and we grabbed a beer, last tour was at 5:30. So we didn't get a tour.
Mm.
However, there are two ways to get a tour. You can either sign up for the actual full-blown tour, or there's a self-guided tour. So you can still walk through and see stuff.
And you guys kind of know, or at least you specifically know what's going on, yeah, so you don't need the tour guide.
Yeah, I think there was five or six of us that did it, and I was with one of my best friends who has worked in beer before and restaurants, and you know, him and I are on the same page in terms of beer, so we were able to kind of, you know, put two and two together and see some stuff. The only thing I think we missed out from taking the full tour is asking questions about, like, you know, what beers do you make here? What's your barrelage per year at this location, distribution footprint, you know, stuff like that. But in terms of how they made beer was, you know, we were able to kind of put two and two together. It was nuts, dude. Their packaging line was the size, was bigger than any brewery in this town, just the packaging area. I'm used to seeing hops come in boxes. They had giant bricks in bins that they use snow shovels for to get out, and that kind of blew my mind. The biggest whirlpool I've ever seen in my life.
And I'm assuming the beer and food was good?
The beer and food was fantastic. Again, they made a Helles Lager that I had that was absolutely phenomenal. I tried another pale ale that I thought was great, and it came back hazy, and I thought they gave me the wrong beer, and they were like, nope, it's hazy. And I was like, dang it, boiled again. But that was good. Everybody was drinking this hoppy red that they made there, coming out of the serving tank, and this rosé, R-O-Z-E. So it was like a rosé beer.
The rosé IPA trend is hitting, as we talked about with Mike Hunsaker.
Yeah, it wasn't an IPA, but it was some sort of like fruited, graped beer, something like that. And I tried it. It was good, but everybody else had at least one pint, and I had to, I of course finished with a pale ale. I had to.
Of course, your favorite classic beer.
I mean, I was there. I had to.
Of course.
And then you step outside and there's, I don't know, another 50 tables outside, a giant lawn, and a concert venue stage.
Again,
it was like an amphitheater.
It reminds me of Stone minus the concert, because Stone has a huge indoor area,
mm-hmm.
and has a huge outdoor area that the place is just massive. It's by itself, kind of. There's like this little like military area on a side island near San Diego, kind of. It's kind of hard to describe. It's more north of the city. That's where it is, and it's just gigantic. It's the biggest one I've ever been to. So, I mean, obviously this one's bigger. It's just reminded me of that, if any of you have been to Stone in San Diego.
There's where the stage is, there was a walkway to the left that is going downhill, and it was closed on Monday, but my friends that went on Sunday told me about it and said that if you go down, that all that is down there is just a larger field that you just kind of hang out in. And they told me, they were like, if you go, don't try to sit in the restaurant. It was like a 4-hour wait to sit in the restaurant. But if you go down that hill into that grass area, there's a bunch of food trucks down there. So when they're super busy, they're able to open up basically another extension.
A 4-hour wait?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They're able to open another extension, basically a giant lawn with beer games, lawn games, things like that, and food carts down there. So you can just eat out of a food cart instead of waiting in the restaurant.
So if you're going to Sierra Nevada, get there when they open.
Well, it was Labor Day weekend.
I know, but still, get there when they open.
Yeah.
And try to avoid the giant lines.
I did watch an older woman try to walk in with what looked like a 30-pound long-haired cat. It was. And she asked if she could be sat with the cat.
A cat?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. It was a giant white cat. And bless the souls of those little 19-year-old host girls at the front desk. They tried to hold it together. And then when she walked away, they were seating us, and they were just dying laughing. They could not believe that some woman tried to come in with a 30-pound cat, like a 30-pound Maine Coon long-haired cat. It's like, no, lady, you can't bring this cat in.
Is that North Carolina in a nutshell right
no,
there?
No, that's just people being idiots.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, hey, man, I'm pretty jealous of that. I love going on these beer trips where I just go and try a bunch of breweries, because I, like you, can handle having a beer or two at every single place. Mm-hmm. It doesn't destroy me. It doesn't make me fill up extra than just food. And so I do have a couple questions before we wrap up the segment. And favorite, you said, was High Wire. And was your favorite beer a High Wire beer as well? Or was the favorite beer you had from somewhere else?
Yeah, I would say my favorite beer is the High Wire beer.
Okay. Can we get any of the Asheville Brewery beer here?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, we don't even get Wicked Weed out here. Outside of New Belgium and Sierra Nevada, I don't think I've ever seen anything. I've never even heard of these breweries. The only reason I knew who Burial was because we did a collab with them.
What about disappointing places or underwhelming places?
Well, one really funny thing is there was a lot of times we went to a brewery and I ordered a beer and four other people ordered different beers and I hated mine the most. It happened to me multiple times.
That's weird. So the style that you know that you like here isn't necessarily as good in North Carolina.
No, it wasn't that. It was like my buddy Eddie, we walked up to Green Man and he ordered we were like, what are you feeling? He was like, I think I'm going to get an IPA. I was like, I think I'm going to do the same. We were looking and they had like three on tap. And he goes, I'm going to get this one. I was like, cool. If you get that one, I'll get this one and let's try him. He was like, sounds great. I hated mine. Loved his. And then we went back and did the same thing. There was a third IPA and a pale ale. I got the pale. He got the IPA and I hated mine. And his was great. That happened to me at Green Man. It happened to me at Funkatorium. And it happened to me at Sierra Nevada too.
Mm. Just the luck of the draw.
Yeah, so I had bad luck on that. To be honest, I wasn't the biggest fan of Burial's beer, which is kind of disappointing. Just because I wanted to, like, support them as someone that had collabed with us. Again, this is my opinion. I wonder if the beers that they make are just not quite my style. They did have a open fermented lagered Vienna lager that I really enjoyed. But outside of that, I wasn't a big fan. And then I think the biggest thing that shocked me while I was there was the service at Sierra Nevada was atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. The food
that
was good.
That sucks, but I'm also not surprised because of the size.
The food was great. The beer was great. The location was amazing. But like when a bartender looks at three of you and you each order a beer and then he charges you, you pay for it, and then he comes back with two and then walks away and starts making sample trays. You're just like, oh, maybe he forgot. No big deal. And then we had a woman, we were sitting, there was seven of us, and then it dropped down to four of us. And so the far end of the table was completely empty now. And we had people dropping off food at the other end of the table where no one was sitting. And then one guy literally reaching, so I'm at the head of the table. If you think it'd be like a table of eight with three people on each side of the long part and then end caps at each side. He's standing at the far end. I'm the one and there's two next to me. On each side, he's standing at the far end and is trying to reach across the table to hand me a beer. Meanwhile, there is so much space around me. I was like, okay, this is strange, but we'll just go with it. Yeah, it was just a little to be desired.
Okay, that's good to know for anybody going out there. Do you think, and I just wrote this down, growing or hit its limit? Do you think that Asheville on its tourism site sells it as the most breweries per capita in the U.S., yeah. Which it sounds like they have 37 or 40 or something around that number. Do you think that there's room for it to go there from your short time there? Did it feel like there was too many? What was kind of your feel on that?
I didn't think the market was saturated. I mean, that could be because we live here and we're kind of used to a brewery being on every corner.
Right.
I would say if that town wants to grow in its brew scene, Just to be frank and honest, the beer's got to get better. The beer was good, not great. I had some really great stuff, but on a whole, and one could argue that on a whole, Portland's beer isn't that great. On a whole, you know, that there's, you know, 90 breweries in this town that you can go to, but really only want to go to eight, you know. So they could be suffering from that as well.
I think what might be interesting is in the South, there probably isn't that much of a craft beer culture. So maybe Asheville, in respect to the South, is ungodly amazing.
Yeah.
But in respect to what we have grown accustomed to in the Northwest and the West Coast, is just good, not great. Because think about the amount of people who are vacationing there mm-hmm. from Alabama or Georgia or Tennessee or whatever that maybe doesn't have the craft beer scene that we're used to, then Asheville is that level higher.
Town's also really small. Like, the town's really small. So I mean, I know that there was Asheville Brewing Company is another one downtown that I didn't get the chance to get to. There was that other High Wire location that was downtown that I didn't get the chance to get to. So there was even more downtown than even I was able to get to. But it's just small. So I think that's something you got to be careful of. It's not as sprawled out. I will say this. The city, cooler than the city of Bend, beer not as good as the city of Bend. However, better food, better cocktails in Asheville.
And way more options, too.
Yeah, the food in Asheville was absolutely phenomenal. And the craft cocktail scene is alive and healthy and well.
Cool. Well, that's Asheville, North Carolina, everybody. If you're going to go down there, well, hopefully you'll take some of Patrick's advice and some of the beers he tried and some of the positives and negatives, and let us know as well what you've done there. If you've been there already, feel free to let us know, of course, your favorite breweries and your favorite beers. Again, Twitter is at MikeLynch27 and Patrick's at PDD085 on both Twitter and Instagram. All right, coming up next, it is time for our beer of the week, and I have been told it is theme-based. We are going to be drinking a North Carolina beer. Coming up next here on Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. All right, Beer of the Week time, our favorite segment of every single podcast here on Beers on Us. I am holding it right now. We have a glass in front of us from High Wire Brewing, which I guess is no surprise considering how the last segment went. Patrick's favorite place in Asheville, North Carolina was High Wire. And the beer we have in front of us is the High Wire Zirkusfest Oktoberfest beer.
Lager.
And do they have a little description of what it tastes like on the beer?
Yeah. Gold medal winner at 2016 American GABF in the German-style Märzen category. Use of Munich malt in this full-flavored beer provides upfront biscuit and honey flavors that fade into a light, dry finish. It was funny because it was like hot and muggy. The last thing I thought I would want is a malty lager, but I tasted it and it was just really good. And it was funny. It's funny because we just cracked into September. October's not too far down the line. I didn't know it was award-winning because I basically tried every beer, got a sample tray each time I needed to try every beer, and this was the one that talked to me the most.
Well, based on that description alone, the flavors sound exactly up my alley. Bready and honey sound perfect to me. And
I love that we both have bottle openers on our keys.
Of course. And they're probably both brewery bottle openers too, aren't they?
Yeah, who do you have?
I've got Deschutes on mine.
I got Double Mountain.
I got Deschutes at a golf tournament. They had like a little swag truck there, and they were just handing them out. I was like, I do need a bottle opener on my keychain. There we go.
I have to go to the chiropractor after this. I hope she's not mad that I'm having a beer.
Why would she be mad?
I don't know. I already had a beer before anyway.
Well, it's your Wednesday. It's your day off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you haven't been able to tell, I am slightly sick, so my nose might have some trouble with the taste on this one.
Something real quick. I did have to fly with these home. I think I've mastered flying home with beer. Get some bubble wrap, wrap it in a towel. You can bring back whatever you want. So I brought three of these back, two for this segment, one for Head Brewmaster, and then I brought three hazies back.
Wow. Because
they canned a hazy. One of the hazies they canned, I just
dude,
really,
who
really
are
liked.
You and what have you done with Patrick Harris?
I know.
You're getting into fresh hop season now. Let's not go all hazy all
I know,
of a sudden.
I know.
Although they're probably going to make some fresh hop hazies too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So
I think we're making two.
This one, it does kind of give me a little honey right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's honey, and then I guess the malt of the Oktoberfest style, it hits me right away.
It's a very light caramel color.
Mm-hmm.
It just
tastes good.
It's got some like residual sweetness to it. It's not overpowering. I think that's what I really liked about it. And again, it could be a lot of like atmospheric when I was there, but I think that was a huge reason why I liked it, because it was bright, it was crisp. But it had some sweetness without it being, you know, kind of too sugary in your mouth. I thought the malt balance was just really nice to it. And I could drink this kind of all day, every day is what I was thinking.
It kind of feels like it hits the sweet spot between both of our styles,
mm-hmm.
which are pretty on the opposite end of the spectrum, where you're much more hoppy IPA guy. I'm much more malty porter stout guy. It kind of sits perfectly in the middle because it has that clean, refreshing, pale taste that you like so much.
Mm-hmm.
And makes it more drinkable and more sessionable. But then all of a sudden you get the kind of the bready malts. You get some honey, which I always like in my beer. And that's more towards my spectrum. And it kind of does both really well. This is really good. I think, I'm glad you brought this one. It kind of, I feel like it speaks to both of us.
Well, and it was so funny too, because I'm like bouncing around all these places and, you know, and I'm keeping in the back of my mind, you got to find something for beer of the week. And I didn't want to bring something from Sierra Nevada just because I think this is our seventh podcast. I think this is the eighth time we've mentioned Sierra Nevada. I didn't want to bring something back from them. And I was really just didn't want to bring back an IPA, to be honest, because even though I had some good ones, you know, I think being in the market we're in and, you know, the direction this podcast has gone, you know, I think we cover IPAs fairly regularly and fairly intensely.
And so, I think we're going to have a lot of IPAs to try in Beer of the Week coming up.
Exactly.
And this is a good opportunity to kind of take a step away.
And this was not the beer that I thought was going to be talking to me, because I was like looking at stuff. I was kind of I tasted a blueberry sour from these guys and I was like, oh, maybe, because it wasn't overly tart. I was like, oh, maybe this is the time that we bring the sour. And then this was on my first taster tray and it just blew me away. I had to do it.
It's really good. Sadly, you're not going to be able to find this here because nothing apparently from Asheville is here.
Yeah, but it's got a bearded lady on the label.
Yes, it does. I think that's their logo, is the bearded lady, right? Because I'm assuming High Wire is kind of circusy
theme. This is their logo. It's like a guy on a high wire with the balancing beam.
Gotcha.
I bought a t-shirt. I bought a sticker.
You can tell how much Patrick liked High Wire.
When you do their taster tray, it's you get four at a time. You write the four of them. And then it's on the front and it looks like kind of like a circus act sort of thing. It's just like a sky on the front and you write your four beers. On the back, it's a postcard. You can mail it to yourself.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I was like, this is so cute.
Did you mail it to yourself?
No, I forgot. I got drunk. But I got them. I kept them. I was like, I'm going to put these in my bag and I'm going to totally mail these to me. Then I saw them in Atlanta and I was like, maybe I can mail them from Atlanta. No, that'd be kind of late. And then I forgot about them again and now I'm home with postcards that I didn't send to myself.
Totally separate story. When we went to Vegas a couple weeks ago, my notification on my phone, I have it to remind me a week ahead of time of birthdays, popped up mom's birthday. And I was like, oh, crap. Because I was in Las Vegas and I wouldn't have time when we got back to send it to get there on time.
Oh.
Because we were getting back like a day before her birthday. So I went to a CVS on the Strip, bought a card, and went, wait, how am I going to mail this? And I went to our hotel and they said, sorry, we don't mail things for you. You can FedEx it, though. I was like, I'm not FedExing a card.
You think I am?
I'm not spending $30 at a Vegas Strip hotel to FedEx a card. We went to Fremont Street, which is kind of like the more downtown portion. And we asked around and we found a post office that was like three blocks away. And it was super shady. And there was one little row of containers to dump mail in, like outgoing mail containers, which mm-hmm. I feel like don't exist anymore. And I put it in there. And it got there even faster than when we mail stuff from here.
Yes.
It got there in like 2 days. I was like, there you go, Las Vegas random mailbox in the middle of downtown. Thank you. That's what that reminds me of. Because you're like, I'm not near home. How do I mail these things?
Yeah, I had no idea. And like, when was the last thing you really mail things? Like,
it's just letters for birthdays.
I don't mail anything. I don't even do that. I don't even wish people a happy birthday. I don't expect it from you, so.
I know. I'm not a big letter guy, but a lot of my family members are. So yeah. I still have to abide by those laws of the family, if you will. But I'm not Mr. Birthday Card Guy.
Yeah, it was one of my best friend's wedding. That's why I was in Asheville. And people are coming to me, you know, I was lucky enough to be asked to be a groomsman. The wedding was absolutely gorgeous. It's amazing what rich people can do. And, you know, people are asking me, what'd you get Pete for wedding? What'd you get Pete and MG for a wedding gift? And I was like, my attendance, the fact that I flew across the country, I'm here. Congratulations. Oh, that's kind of it. That's really all I got for you, man.
The flight probably was very expensive.
Yeah, dude. Plus, oh man.
Hotel in Atlanta.
Oh yeah. Just everything. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I probably spent $1,000 doing this. Easy.
Mm.
Easy.
Yeah. For our wedding, when we got married, in New Jersey, which is where I'm from. And we flew all of the groomsmen and bridesmaids out on the dime of the wedding. Mm-mm. So they didn't have to worry about it. But everybody else.
I'm going to tell you this story. And Mary Greer, if you end up listening to this, I apologize if it sounds offensive. It's more of just like, I am clearly from the West Coast and don't understand how things work in the South. But my buddy Peter, his now wife, her name is Mary Greer. Right? Classic Southern.
Yep.
Mary Greer. She's from Tennessee. And her father, his name is Greer.
Greer?
Nope, just Greer. And then, because her last name is
Rusty Greer.
Her last name is, you know, I probably shouldn't say last names on the air, but yeah. But his first name is Greer.
Okay.
He has a brother who has two children, both girls. One is named Mary, the other's named Greer. And then Greer's daughter is named Mary Greer.
There's a lot of Greer going on.
No, it's just a lot of like, I don't understand going on.
I don't understand it either. I don't blame you.
I know. It's like, what's your middle name, Mike?
Gary.
Yeah. So it'd be like, this is my son, Michael Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just strange to me.
I got you. Okay. I got you. I understand. All right.
Was that even worth it? Like, should we just cut that out?
No, we're not cutting.
That didn't sound as funny as I wanted it to
be. We're not cutting it out because we're learning. It was beer of the week mixed in with random wedding talk from
y'all.
From our life.
Bunch of y'all, man.
A lot of y'all.
Bunch of y'all.
A lot of y'all, I'm sure. All right. That's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much for listening. Once again, wherever you found us, iTunes, Google Play, attendingthefan.com. If there's a rate and subscribe and review area, please do so. We appreciate it. Also, let us know on Twitter at 1080 or at MikeLynch27. You can go on at 1080TheFan. I do tweet it out from there as well.
Sure, why not?
And at PDD085. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what you're trying. If you've been to Asheville, please let us know. I want to hear what you thought about the city and the beer there as we are trying High Wire's Oktoberfest beer. Again, it is the High Wire Zirkusfest Oktoberfest. It is a honey and bready, biscuity, malty deliciousness. Very easy drinking as well. And has a very, very kind of sweet back end with a very malty front end. It's kind of, we didn't really go through all the layers because I'm a little sick, but that's kind of how I got it throughout my stuffy nose.
Just clean.
Just clean,
clean, smooth.
Not sure what we're doing next week. We are going to try to do On Location, I believe, but that is not set in stone yet. If not, we'll figure it out, but make sure you tune in. It'll be back again next Thursday, 4 o'clock, as always, and we'll see you then.
Deuces.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.